The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Back and joint pain are some of the most common complaints that many of us have, from maybe playing sport or exercising in the gym, or sometimes just sitting at your desk for too long. How can we prevent this? And if you've got any questions about your particular ailments, well, our expert this week is chartered physiotherapist Larry O'Mahony. So good morning and welcome, Larry.
Good morning, Pat, and thank you for having me.
Is it true there's a kind of an epidemic of back pain in the country?
Well, actually, I think back pain, you're right. Yeah, it has been around for a long time. And approximately 85% of people will experience back pain at some stage in their life, with around 35% of those having persistent back pain. So it is a massive problem that causes a lot of absenteeism from work and causes a lot of trips to the GP.
How much of it is just caused by, say, bad posture? People, they're at their desk all day and they're slouching, they're not sitting properly. Or how much of it is because of an injury of some kind?
Well, interestingly, Pat, when we have clients approaching or coming in for physiotherapy, the first three questions we would ask are, how much exercise are you getting? How much sleep are you getting? And also stress. So these would be recognised as three of the biggest predictors of back pain. So if we think of sleep, if you're not getting enough sleep, your body isn't getting time to repair itself. So sleep is a bit like the on-off button on a phone, you know. If there's any kinks, you turn your phone off, back on, and now everything is working a little bit better. So our body is the same. So we need sleep for all of our processes to work well. Then when we think of exercise, so we need to be active. And that ties in a little bit to what you were saying about posture, because we are seeing sedentary behaviour is everywhere. Our jobs nowadays, people are sitting down a lot more. Not only are they sitting down more, they're spending a lot of time on screens as well.
Yeah.
So maybe they're looking down all the time or they're sitting down all the time. So lack of exercise and sedentary activity go hand in hand for the impact it has on your joints, for the impact it has on your inflammatory system. And then that also leads me into stress. So stress is cited as one of the biggest causes of low back pain, would you believe? And when we are experiencing stress, what happens is we move into our fight or flight system. So that's our central nervous system, fight or flight, which was really useful when we were hunter-gatherers. And if you saw a lion, so your body would divert all of the blood to your muscles so you could run away really quickly. And also your heart rate would elevate. Whereas, you know, now if you have a deadline in work and you hit fight or flight, it's not really as beneficial.
Yeah.
So if you're in that period for a long period of time, muscles become tight and then that'll also present as back pain.
Now, I've got loads of questions coming for you. I've been suffering with pain in my left hip that radiates down my leg since the summer, and lower back pain since Christmas. I'm 45. I walk regularly. I haven't fallen or injured myself. Is this normal aging, perimenopause, or can physio help? That's from Sinead.
Thanks for your question, Sinead. And so firstly, I will say that as we do approach menopause, we will have a drop in estrogen, and that can have an impact on inflammation in our body. So we can become, we can get an increase in inflammation. We can also have increased stiffness in our joints. Overall, though, when we start to think about like hip pain, a lot of the time hip pain can be referred from the back. So with your symptoms, it could either be coming from your back or also could be coming from your hip as well as your back. From an overall perspective, I will say while walking is fantastic for you, we need to be doing a little bit more than walking for our general health. Because as we're getting older, particularly midlife, we see that our cartilage will start to reduce a little bit, our muscle mass will start to reduce. So if we can increase our muscle mass, generally we'll start to see that our joint pain will start to decrease as well. So definitely go and see a physio, get a resistance program, flexibility program, and that will all help.
I fell 3 weeks ago, sustained a lumbar muscle injury in my lower right back. The pain was very debilitating in the first week, much improved now. I feel my recovery, though, has stalled in the last 5 days. What should I be doing to speed up that recovery safely?
I'm delighted to hear that it's improving. And the natural course in our body is that when we sustain an injury, it should get better. However, we do need to support our body a little bit, because when we first get injured, generally our activity levels will decrease. So as you recover, you need to work on building in, once again, increasing your activity and now increasing the strengthening activities that you're doing not only for your back, but also for your hips and also for your pelvis. So I would say even starting some Pilates-based exercises on the floor, if you haven't done any strength exercises before, is a great place to start, or else returning to some of your usual activities if you're a runner, walker, that sort of thing.
Can you tell me where I can buy a really firm pillow, one with little or no give? I've tried the Spinery pillows, but I still need a firmer one than that. I'm desperate for a good night's sleep.
So this is such an interesting question. And I think that when somebody wants a firm pillow, generally we have to look a little bit deeper and think, why do they need a firm pillow? Quite often it's because they can't get comfortable when they're sleeping. And that tells us maybe we need to be looking at what's happening with their neck and less about what's happening with the pillow. Because quite often, tired muscles will present as painful muscles at the end of the day, and that can impact how well we sleep. So I don't know too much about different pillow companies, but I would say that starting to work on the strength in your neck, in my experience, is a great place for changing the long-term health and strength in your neck.
I'm 38, working as a mechanic. I have lower back pain on the right, pain going down the right leg, more frequent when trying to sleep or sit down.
So I would love to know, first of all, how this came on. Did it come out of nowhere, or did it come on as a result of an injury? Either way, when we think of pain from sitting down, that can be to do with a nerve being a little bit irritated. Similarly, when we experience pain when we're lying down, that can be to do with all the distractions of the daytime are gone, so we can hear what's happening in our central nervous system a little bit better. So what I would say is, throughout the day, try and change position regularly. So try and avoid long periods of bending forward. So as a mechanic, I can imagine there's lots of bending forward. So trying to stand up and stretch every 20 to 30 minutes, standing up, walking around, actually lying on your front and lifting your chest up. So if this flexion position is aggravating your back, bring your body into the opposite position. We know that when we get our joints moving, we get the synovial fluid moving, and this will help to keep our joints
so
healthy.
It's like a press up without lifting your hips off the ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I used to do that for my back, I tell you.
Yes, it's fantastic. Well. Yeah. Yeah, kind of distributing load.
For years, I had a twinge that would occasionally cause a sensation down my left leg and some numbness. One day recently, I strained my back, with the result I could barely walk. It turned out to be my L5 disc pushing against my S1 nerve. I've never heard of this before, but since the incident, I've noted how common it is. And if I'd been doing some basic stretching exercises, I could potentially have avoided causing the strain. Just thought I'd share that.
Well, this is very interesting though, Pat, because what we know is when somebody experiences back pain, we wouldn't recommend for them to get a scan too quickly, because for everybody over 60, approximately 90% of them are going to show changes in their spine. And that doesn't necessarily correlate with pain. So this person could actually have strained a muscle in their back and had a scan, and it might show that there are joint changes, might show that there are disc bulges, but that might not necessarily have been causing the pain, which is very interesting. So I do think that the more mobile you can keep your back, and that's flexibility, and then that's also strength-based exercises. So trunk strengthening and hip strengthening, all really important.
I'm 34, male, suffering with L4-5 herniated disc for 5 years now, with bad and crippling sciatica. I've tried physios, chiropractors, osteopaths, etc. And while I got temporary relief, it keeps coming back. Also, I visited a consultant in SCC who tried injections, but I had no relief. He's now recommending surgery, but I'm hesitant about it. My problem is all of the conflicting advice. Chiropractors and physios say surgery can be avoided, while the consultant is jumping to surgery. It's hard to know where to go.
And that is a very frustrating position to be in. And so I'm sorry to hear that for you. What I will say is that we know active strategies are the most important for creating change in a situation like yours. We also know that discs heal over time, and more research is showing that the bigger the disc, the more likely it is to heal, with some studies showing it can heal up to a 2-year period. Now, I would say that a progressive strengthening program combined with mobility, and in my experience, when I have seen clients before, they haven't been engaging in enough strength-based work, and that has been limiting their progress. Now, that being said, if you do have very, very limiting nerve pain in your leg, injections can be really useful. But if that is not impacting your pain and it's really starting to impact your function, I would say that surgery does have a very successful outcome. But talking to your surgeon about that is definitely the route to go.
Can you let me know what to do for degraded knee meniscus injuries, please?
Firstly, degraded knee meniscus is something that we might see on a scan, for example, on an MRI. But actually, we can't always correlate what we see on an MRI with what somebody will report to us. Because you, for example, might have knee meniscal tears and actually no pain at all. So the meniscus itself can have a poor blood supply, which means if it does get a tear, it's less likely to heal, but also it's less likely to cause problems. It'll generally, well, a lot of the time it will settle down as you start to return to activity, once again building the strength in your quadriceps, in your hamstrings. You start to return that range of movement and slowly expose yourself to the activities that you've loved in the past. Now, I will say, if you do have a tear in your meniscus and that's limiting range of movement, that's a different story, because if you can't bend or straighten your knee fully, you would need to go and see an orthopedic consultant, and that might require surgery. But for generally degeneration in the knee or in the meniscus, it's really successful physiotherapy, strengthening your knee up, getting back active and understanding. It might take a little bit of time, but generally within about 12 weeks, we'll see kind of good muscle strength and return to function.
Larry O'Mahony, chartered physiotherapist, thank you very much for joining us. So many more questions coming in, but we have no more time. But thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.